Well, welcome to today's podcast replay from the Killer Bee Studios. Let's go ahead and dive on in. All right, so we're going to be talking about transformations.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask everybody here by throwing some confetti, how many of you here would say that your life has changed a lot since you were younger? Anybody? Anybody with some confetti? Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Everybody, see everybody's hands. Our guest, Nick, she is the founder of a company called Bandkind. You should definitely look it up. She's probably going to talk about that. She's been in the radio industry for I don't know how long. She's got a really cool story. So I'm not going to try to tell it to y'all. I want her to tell it. So Arcane, can you go ahead and cue that guest intro? And let's welcome her out with some confetti. Nick, come on out. Let's see if she can make it. Yeah, well, there she is. Oh, she like ran into me out here. Here,
she made it.
Help her out.
She made it.
She made it. She did a good job. Good job.
Like a pro.
So you guys have to understand, like, her meta age, as you can see, she's kind of like wobbling out here. She's not been drinking at the pub and at the British pub before she came. She's just still getting used to her controls. That's all that's going on, right?
Killer Bee.
I was watching where she was at in the world. It tells me where she's hopping around. So,
stalker.
I'm gonna give her a little space because she, yeah, there you go. I'm going to stand right here. So that way I give her a little bit of space.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Nick. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I have been enjoying all this beautiful Horizon World. It's been so fun to be here.
Well, we can't wait. Like, fun's just beginning because this is what it's all about. You know, you're going to get to experience. This is her real first, like, real time experience in the metaverse, doing a show and everything like that. So that's where, like, this is going to be great because she's going to get to know what Horizons, the community, is all about. As you guys get to hear her story and her, you got legs. You don't really know what much it's like without legs. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool. Very cool.
All right.
Cool.
So Nick, a lot of people here, they might not know who you are. So can you take about 30 seconds and just tell us a little bit about who Nick is? Who is Nick?
Wow. That is a loaded question. I'm so glad you guys are all here. It's been so fun to just, meet a couple of you guys, out in the grass area and by the fire pit. And, who am I? I am a person that's been in radio and records for 30 years. And that encompasses a lot of different jobs, and it's been a lot of tour bus lifestyle, a lot of listening to music, and a lot of telling people about it. So I'm glad to be here tonight.
Yay, awesome. We're awesome. Super glad that you're here. What are some of the things you've done in radio?
Well, I was the music director, and what it means to be a music director is you're listening to songs, you're listening to music in the context of brand new music and older music, and how when you're listening to the radio, it's not just all brand new songs, you know,
sure.
And so it gives you an experience. Mm-hmm. And so as a music director, I did that. I also did a lot of audio editing, and which I love. I love editing so much. It's one of my favorite things. And then just, you know, as talking to the artists and helping them get their music heard.
Awesome.
Yes, I love that. I love it. Well, when I talked to you too about coming out, I was like, yeah, I want you to come experience because, you know, again, Nick has got some artists that's lined up that's going to be coming out here pretty soon too. I know we're talking about even maybe like a Christmas concert that's going to happen here, which is going to be really cool. We're waiting to see. I thought it was great for her, first off, to come experience this because then it helps her to be able to share with the artists and stuff that you're talking to. Help explain what this is actually like. Because until you put the headset on, you really don't know, right? You don't know.
No.
It's an eye opener.
Not at all. Not at all. And I know you guys are total pros at this.
Mrs. Killer Bee, you're doing really good.
Oh, thanks. Mr. Killer Bee and Arcane and a lot of other people here are pros, but I'm still learning. Like, I run into walls and stuff like that all the time. So
when I asked her also to come out, I told her, I was like, you know, what I love about the studio is this is a place for us to come together, connect with people and share real life experiences. Like, what's something that is you're passionate about that has been an important thing in your life that you would like to share? Is it, you know, the challenge or struggle? And when we were talking, she said, I would like to come talk about life transformations. I'm like, that sounds cool. Cause she said she's had a lot. And so I'm like, this would be great to have you come and share with us. So I kind of wanted to paint the scene a little bit so you guys knew where she was at right now, We're going to get back to that. But okay, so let's rewind a little bit here, Nick. Maybe you can take us back to a time before you got into radio. What was life like in Rewind?
Ooh, yeah, really, really rewind. Music was important to me in growing up in Montana. Anybody have any experience with Montana out there? Throw me some confetti.
Good soldier. Yeah, awesome. Yay. Awesome.
Not me, not yet, but I will.
Not yet.
It's on our bucket list, right? Now. Yeah, it's on the bucket list.
So growing up in an atmosphere very rural where farmers and ranchers would come together and play music. And it was interesting because you'd hear them, you know, maybe in the context of church on Sunday or just hanging out at the granaries or something like that. But hearing them actually play music is what changed my perception about what people could do with music. And so that's going way, way back. So I knew that I wanted to be involved in that. And so I started making radio shows. I started doing countdown shows when I was a little girl, and also had my my younger brother come in, and he would do commercials.
Oh, wow.
He would make commercials with me. And it was really, really special to feel like you could do something.
What did you do in Montana?
Yes, I was a sheep herder. In real life sheep herder.
Wow. Right here. We have any other sheep herders here in the audience? Any other sheep herders?
Yes. Well, Mrs. Killer B just asked me at what age I started, and probably around 8. And I just continued to herd sheep. And we spent a lot of nights where I just slept in the barn with the sheep. It was really a beautiful experience, you know? But also,
How many sheep did you have? How many?
We at one point had hundreds, but my mother worked on a ranch. They had 10,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a lot of sheep.
That had to smell lovely.
Yeah. I have to imagine that experience had to give you so much insight into the Bible and all of the different talk about, you know, leading the flock, and, you know, David, you know, was out with the sheep, and it had to give you just such a, you know, clear picture of what they're trying to tell us, you know. And if you've never had any experience like that, which now at this point I've had some experience with goats, but before all that, you know, there's so much that you just can't know about what it's like to be a shepherd. Unless you've done it or known somebody who did that, right?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our links in the show notes, where you can join our private Discord community and find more fantastic resources and affiliate links. It's all just a click away.
It's absolutely true. And Mrs. Killerby's right. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Psalms and in the Bible. And really, 1st and 2nd Samuel is some of my favorite parts. David, I just think he's a fantastic individual in the Bible that I really look up to for a lot of different reasons. But I resonate with him as a shepherd and as a very young boy as a shepherd. Yes. And so it was, and of course, music, you have a lot of time that you're out there with sheep. And you just you're singing. You reflect on music and you sing to the sheep and
sing to the sheep. It helps. Like, does it help with the sheep?
Yeah, soothe them. Yeah, they hear the voice of the shepherd, and so it's pretty special.
If you're okay, I do got to ask this question: is female shepherds called shepherds, or are they called something different? I don't really know.
Shepherdess.
Mr. Shepherdess.
Shepherdess.
Shepherdess. Okay.
Not with a T, darling, though. You're saying a T at the end.
Oh, Shepherdess.
Like S.
Shepherdess. Shepherdess. Okay.
There you go. Yes.
Shepherdess. Okay. So if. Okay. So here you are. Okay. So I'm trying to piece this story together. So you're young. You said starting like when you're 8, and you were singing to the sheep too. Is that like where you started realizing you had like a love for like music and radio? Like how did that come about into your story?
Yeah. From about that same time, I started studying Japanese Suzuki piano.
Oh, wow.
And I actually had a sheep that, you know, would sort of lead the flock. And so I would walk with that sheep. But I had a cow as well. We had a lot of different things.
Speaking but, Mrs. Killer B's language right now, because yeah, she wants a pet cow.
Oh, so. Gosh. We had sort of a old McDonald's farm situation. But I traded the cow for a piano, which I still have to this day. It's a 1924 Fisher.
I thought you were talking about the cow. I was like, you still got the cow today? Okay, you still have the piano. Okay, yes. All right, that makes more sense. I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. And it was made in New York. Yes, so very, very special to me. But I played that in studying Suzuki piano, which is a Japanese method of listening to music and then emulating what you hear. And just the more and more you listen to it, the more and more it becomes part of the fabric of your thinking, and you're able to play that.
Is that like playing? Okay. So I play bass guitar, or I play bass guitar, very acoustic cool. and all that stuff, but I can't read a lick of music. I play by ear. So is that kind of like,
yes.
is that kind of like, say, wait a minute. So tell me what was called again. Cause that sounded really fancy instead of saying Suzuki. I play by ear.
It's named after, whoops, sorry. I need to close out of this. Huh?
You're coined out. Yeah, so just hit your right button.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay.
So Japanese Suzuki?
Yes, and that's the name of the man that kind of came up with that method. Yeah.
So that's what I can say instead of I play by ear.
You can say I listen to the music until it becomes the fabric of my thinking.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember that at all. I'm not going to remember. I'll just say I play by ear. I'm going to butcher that up.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to totally tear that up. Okay, so that's really cool. Do you still play that piano today then too? Or is it more of like...
I do have it. I don't play it very much. Yeah, I should. Gotcha. I really should, but I don't. But that is about the same time. And I began to study music and listen to it and do different things with it. And obviously... you know, that played into my career later, in radio, and these two things together, I didn't realize, but that led me to, a job, at a record company even. So, it's just so strange that very beginning can be this life transformation that you never would have thought, was anything that could be something that would be in your life.
Is the rest of your family musical?
No.
Wow.
Well, I thought she thought about that for a second.
I'm not saying I'm musical.
I would definitely say you're musical. Definitely.
My stepfather, he is a composer, and we have always had a concert grand piano in our house that he plays constantly.
Oh, wow.
And he
that's
continues
cool.
to compose music today. Wow. And he has for my entire life. Yeah.
That's amazing. Is there anybody here in the audience with some confetti that let us know? Like, does anybody in here play a musical instrument? Let us know by throwing some confetti. Oh, we see Nerd.
Oh, yeah. Diener.
Irv here. Diener. Oh, hey, Diener. I think, was that DJ? No, that's somebody. Yeah. I don't know who the other person up there, but I saw a hand raised. I just can't see their name badge. Wow, that's awesome. Oh, anybody on this side?
DJack.
Okay. Awesome. Wow. That's cool. Hey, thanks for joining us, Hitchbro.
I can barely turn on the radio, so I'm out of luck musically.
Okay. So you play music and stuff. So what was like your first entrance into like radio? Mm-hmm. Where did that start?
Yeah. I actually went to college in Southern California for broadcasting, and I knew that I wanted to do that. You know, even from making those radio shows in my, you know, in my room, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And so I went to school for it, and then ended up getting a job in Maine, which was really, really a fun thing. And volunteered at that radio station that had just started. It was a Christian radio station, and they were looking for people to come along and help. And then in a very short period of time, they invited me to be part of the morning show. And it was called The Blonde and What's His Name, which was super fun. And so we had such a good dynamic. Yeah, it was really, really fun. I loved it.
That's cool. I love that name.
It gave me this, then I was like an excitement to what I had studied. Yeah. So I wanted to do more of it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
How old were you when you got that first job in radio?
19.
Wow. So by the time you were 19, you had already been living in Montana, went to school in California, and then moved to Maine?
And in between those times, I had also lived in Mexico for a little bit and in Yokohama, Japan, which was really fun, because going back to the country that actually was connected to the music and how I studied and how I learned music was really satisfying.
That's fascinating.
That is cool. That is cool. My son wants to go to Arcane. He wants to go to Japan. He wants to go to Japan.
Well, I want to go with him, by the way.
Bucket list.
Like I said, her bucket list is like, you ever seen like those big water towers? Like that's like really, that's like a quarter of her bucket list. Is anybody in here, anybody in here been to Japan before? Anybody? Irv's like, Skylar, awesome. Wow, that's amazing. Yay. That's cool. So what about your big break in radio? Like, was there a moment that you would say, this was my big break, and how did it play a role in the transformation of your life?
That's a great question. And if I would have said no, I can't imagine where my life would have gone. Oh. But I was on the radio one afternoon playing music, and I got a phone call, and usually the phone call rings for requests, right? Song requests. Sure, but this time it was somebody from a record company, a marketing manager. And he said to me, would you be interested in coming on and working for a band that is trying to re-identify their music and their who they are as a band?
Really?
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I'm probably going to be on the radio side. And they said, we want you to work radio. And it's fine if you're on the radio side, but we need somebody from radio to come alongside us for this. Oh. And so I said, I'll give it a go.
Yes.
And because of that decision, I ended up working with so many incredible people in my industry, and really was able to use that Suzuki piano, listening to music, and being able to work on radio singles before they were sent out, and connecting radio people together on a song. And really lifting up the art that bands were making.
Isn't it cool how, I don't know if you guys, and maybe you guys let me know if Confetti, if you guys have noticed this, but you're just sharing that. Isn't it crazy? Like, you go through times in your life, like, and we're talking about life transformations, and sometimes we're in different seasons and we're wondering, why am I going through this right now, God? Like, why am I here? And you're talking about now, like, okay, I don't know if you can share like who this was that you helped out on tour and stuff with, but as you started going down this path, you're saying, you know, well, I'm like kind of like the radio side, I've never really done that, but then you got that opportunity to go there, and you're using all the skills that you were doing and learning beforehand before you even got into radio. Yeah. Isn't it beautiful how it all pieces together? But were there moments that you were thinking, I don't know why I'm doing this or where this is going to go?
Yeah, it really, really was like that. It was. And has anybody, this is going to go back a long ways, but I'll ask, has anybody here ever heard of the band DC Talk?
DC Talk.
DC Talk.
Yes. Now they're not together no more, but who are some of the members of DC Talk that they might know today?
Okay, well, you probably know Michael Tate from Newsboys. Yep.
Michael Tate. Yeah, Michael Tate.
And then you probably know Toby Mack, right?
Yeah, we know Toby Mack. Awesome.
So Toby Mack really was the the one who had a vision for the band, DC Talk, and had goals that he was going to do, and it was writing music and putting music together. So he and I encountered each other in this space where they were reinventing themselves. I was coming into a transformation in my personal life, going from radio to working with radio on music. Sure. And so Toby and I spent a lot of time really working together to make songs that would have radio airplay, that would make a difference in people's lives, right?
Wow, that's
music,
amazing.
Making a difference.
Yes.
That is amazing. Yeah, I think that's really amazing to hear. And like, Toby's songs, even to this day, are so powerful. And it's amazing that like you got to partner with him in that, like, you know, his songs are really, life changing. They really are. Yeah. And they're powerful and deep and raw, you know? And so that's really amazing. I didn't know that's where this story was going to go. See, I only knew part of it, and I didn't realize that DC Talk was where that started. So that's band. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they hadn't been a band very long before I came alongside what they were doing. And some of my absolute favorite memories are sitting in a rehearsal hall, seeing DC Talk on the stage and having them sing and rehearse. And of course, Kevin Max is such an amazing vocalist, and they would just continue to repeat these phrases until they got them right. And what it turned into was like a beautiful worship experience. Wow. So they wouldn't necessarily ever be called a worship band.
Sure, right.
However, I have been in many sessions where worship has definitely happened.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Cool.
Very
that's
special.
Cool. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. I think that we probably have the audience probably has some questions. You're doing awesome over there, Arcane. Thanks for snapping some photos. Don't forget, you guys, snap your killer selfies and post them so you have some chances to win some of those gift cards. Arcane, let's go ahead and bring up the Q&A mic. Let's give some time here for the audience. If you guys have thoughts or questions, one person at a time can come in the mic area. Just come on down.
How you had mentioned, like, the farmers would like sing and play their instruments in Montana. What type of music were they typically singing? Like folk or?
Yeah, that's a great question. Most of the time they were just singing country and country music, old country music.
What is it then that led you to more of the Christian side of the radio industry?
Great question. We grew up as a family that always went to church, you know, and I just prayed a lot. I lost my father when I was 4 years old. And so I had come to a place where I was desperately alone and in need of answers, which of course my grieving mother could not have answered for me. And in some beautiful way, and it was actually through a bus ministry in Seattle that would come by, pick me up on the bus and take me to church. Mm-hmm. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior because I knew I didn't want to be living life without him.
Wow. Nick,
wow.
That was my first experience with Jesus too, is from a bus ministry. Yeah. My mom would send me off on the bus to church and I, you know, go happily. I loved it. And yeah, so that's amazing.
Praise God.
What happened to your dad? You said you lost him.
It's an easy answer. He was killed in a motorcycle wreck. He wrecked his motorcycle.
Wow. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. He had made a decision to not only ride his motorcycle after a fight, but after he had drank too many drinks.
Wow.
And it led to the end of his life. And he was 26 when he died.
Wow. Oh, my God. I hope that this is encouraging to people here, too, hearing the transformation story, because that's the beautiful thing about our lives right now. If you're here, your life, your story's still being written. Mm-hmm. So that transformation is still happening, even right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even right now, that transformation is happening. And it's beautiful how God can use all the pieces, the difficult seasons, the seasons that are going great, the experiences that maybe you don't like and you're like, I don't know why I got to go through this. He can use all those to paint something beautiful that we don't even know is coming.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward to today. Like, where are you today now?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, about, let's see, about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more than that, I was on the radio. And it was right after COVID and all that. And I had heard that the Hits Deep Tour. Has anybody ever heard of Hits Deep Tour?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Dinner, oh, yeah. Art Girl, yeah.
Hits Deep, yeah. And that's, so you'll know that that's a tour headed by Toby Mac. Mm-hmm. And so he... they had pulled back into Nashville, Tennessee after going out on tour like they did before COVID-19 and no one got ill. No one got sick. Everyone was healthy. And I was live on the radio and I had my mic open and I said, I feel like that tour coming back is one small step for Bandkind. And I just stopped on the air and I just was like, what? I think this is something, you know, and so from there, I found out that nobody really had One Small Step for Bandkind. And of course, it's a play on, man landing on the moon in 1969. Yeah. And, even our logo reflects that boot print. And I often will ask the bands that I interview, what do you want your musical footprint to be on this earth, you know? And so over the last year and a half, we've been gathering artist interviews and just time together with artists and helping them spread the word about the good things, about the kind things they're doing in the world, and really trying to champion what they're doing.
I love it.
Yeah, and there's some really, really powerful stories. Like, I encourage all of you to go and look up these interviews. They're video interviews. And Nick, your joy and your, you know, beautiful personality and your fun just shine through in those interviews. And, okay, I'm going to give you a test. Okay, you don't know very much about me, but as I was scrolling through the videos, I was like, oh, I love that artist. I love that artist. I love that artist. But there was one that made my heart skip a beat. Can you guess who it was?
Mr. Killer B, this is a really tough question. Okay, I'm going to go with Jeremy Camp.
Oh, no, I did not see Jeremy Camp. I do like Jeremy Camp. He was one of my first, like, Christian.
Sorry, Jeremy. He's not coming to Jeremy. Killer B Studios now. Thanks,
he's
Mrs. Killer B.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because if we can get Matt Maher, that's who I saw.
Oh, yes.
So what a first interview to listen to, too, guys, because I'm listening to this interview. He's always very eloquent when he speaks. He's very deep thinker, you know, has just an incredible perspective. And then he tells a story that I'm not going to tell you. Nick started crying in the interview. I was sobbing. I was like, this interview is unbelievably good. Like, you do a really good job with them and ask really thoughtful questions and, like, really kind of get to the heart of the matter and what they're trying to do with their art. Just really good job. It was so beautiful.
Oh, Mrs. Killer B, that's so sweet. I loved that interview. And I specifically love that interview with Matt Maher because I had walked in the place where he had recorded in those ruins. And it was beautiful, beautiful to be there. Very special interview. Thank you.
It's on your bucket list, right?
That went on my bucket list.
See, well, you know, you guys, they can check out those interviews by going to bandkind.com, right?
Yes, bandkind.com. Yes. Yes. And if you just look up Bandkind on any platform, you're probably going to run into us on Instagram or Facebook or Spotify or Pandora or wherever you listen to podcasts or watch them or connect. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And we'll put a link if you're listening to the show notes. If you listen to the podcast replay, we'll put a link in the show notes for you, too. So just check it out and you guys can check out Bandkind as well. Yeah, I love, like, when I was at the radio station at Star, one of the things that I loved was I got to do the interviews with the artists. And I loved it because one of the things I loved, not going straight to the song, but asking them to share like what's going on in their life right now, because man, they've got a lot of stuff to share, and it's good, impactful, just life-changing stories. Mm-hmm. If we give them the time, they want to share it too. I love that. So I'm going to have to go listen to some more of them too. So I love it.
That's good.
I love your logo. I love your logo. It's a great logo. Great logo. Yeah.
And the intro to the videos with the, astronaut and all that. I love it.
Yes. And how it transitions into the artist. Yeah.
Yes.
Super.
Yes. Cool. Thank you.
You guys are going to have to check it out. Bandkind.com. Make sure you check it out.
What's so special about the artists and how they have music on their heart that they're creating. And then that takes us back to David and him shepherding and how he was creating music that then became such a huge part, important part of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And to listen to those songs, to hear, read those lyrics that he wrote. So very special.
We like to ask our guests to share at the end, if there was one thing that you would hope people would walk away with today, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. That is a great question. You know what? I'm going to echo what Mr. Killer B said, and that was that every life in here is in the middle of a transformation. And as you continue to live your life, you will see those things connect that you've gone through in your life, and they will be for something even better.
Well, hey, thanks for tuning in to today's podcast episode.
If you loved today's episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button or leave us a review.
Hey everyone, I want to take a second and invite you to join us live in the metaverse. You can join us live at the Killer Bee Studios. All you need is your very own VR headset. You can order an Oculus headset using the affiliate link in our show notes. Not only does it help support what we're doing here at Killer Bee, but Meta will also hook you up with some cool reward points. So be sure to check out the link in our show notes, and we hope to see you at our virtual studio.